fellow romance readers. I'm Amy.
And I'm Sarah, and this is Post-Book Depression. You know that feeling you get when you finish a good book that you didn't want to end?
Have you finished a book and just weren't ready to move on from the story and its beloved characters? You find yourself needing just a little more? Well, this multi-trope romance podcast gives you the opportunity to dig deeper with us into books we love as we discuss all the reasons we can't move on.
Feeling chatty? You can continue the conversation with us on Instagram at Post Book Depression Podcast or on Facebook in our Post Book Depression discussion group.
We would love for you to subscribe to our podcast and take a brief moment to leave a review.
Are you ready? Let's discuss.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Amy.
And I'm Sarah. And today we're going to be discussing Yours Truly by Abby Hymnes.
The first few minutes, we're going to do a brief review of the story without any spoilers. Then we're going to shift into a deeper book discussion. It's going to include lots of spoilers, but don't worry. As always, we're going to let you know before we do shift into that deeper book discussion.
That's right. So before we do that, Amy has a brief description of what Yours Truly is all about. Amy, let us have that.
Even after a rocky first meeting, Brianna, an ER doctor, agrees to a fake dating relationship with the handsome new doctor, Jacob, after he makes a life-altering decision to help her brother with a kidney transplant. This book is full of humor, quirkiness, and angst. Sarah, what did you think about Yours Truly?
I loved it so much. I loved it so much. Normally, I love a fake dating trope. I really, really do. Sometimes they can be a bit fluffy. Mm-hmm. This one is absolutely not fluffy.
I agree.
It is so incredible. It's just, I loved the characters. You get a little peek at a character of an aspect of life that some people deal with. I just loved it. I can't really, until we dig in, I can't say too much. What did you think?
This was my second book to read by this author, and I love her witty writing. It's mm-hmm. so good. And this book, I feel like, is a really good mixture of both humor and angst.
Yeah.
So there is a topic in here that one of the characters deals with, and I found it very enlightening to learn mm-hmm. about. So it gave me a greater appreciation and an understanding for people who deal with social anxiety. Yes. So for me, I'm the personality type that I'm kind of in the middle. If I'm in a if I'm surrounded by a group of people that I know very well, I'm fine and comfortable. But if you put me into that situation where I don't know any in the room, that anxiety starts to set in. But I am close to someone who is an internal processor and needs to pull back to get out of social spaces. So I enjoyed this story just from that perspective yeah. and getting to understand that a little bit more. I am definitely going to look forward to more books by this author.
Oh, absolutely. She's become one of my favorites. This She's was my great. First and I'm sold. I'm reading everything she has. Like, give it all to me. I love it.
All right, let's get into our ratings. Angst.
Okay, angst. I gave it a 2.
Okay.
Because I was not super overwhelmed. There was angsty moments, but this did not feel like an angst driven book for me personally. Mm-hmm. She just weaves so much humor throughout it that it really brought that level down for me. I think it could have been more if she didn't have the humor in there, but
so I was higher than you. I did 3.5. And the reason for that, miscommunication is a conflict trope that a lot of readers find frustrating. Mm. I am not one of those that I'm not going to, not read a book just because there's miscommunication in it. But there is definitely a high volume of miscommunication,
yes,
misunderstanding, misinterpretation. Mm-hmm. All of that is represented in this story. So for me, it drove the angst up.
It just made me frustrated. I wasn't like really, but yeah.
Okay. Humor.
Okay. Humor. This was a 3.5 for me. She was just, I don't know. I chuckled so much throughout. I laughed out loud. I kept stopping to read passages to my husband. It was just funny.
I gave it 3. There were plenty of laugh out loud moments, like you said. Lots of internal chuckling, humor, wit. We already talked about the wit. So, yeah, solid 3 for me.
Yep.
Spiciness.
Okay, this was just a 1.
Okay, I did a 2. Tell me why you did 1.
There just wasn't a lot, and it wasn't super descriptive when it was. I mean, there's some moments where the characters, like, think. But I just didn't think it was that spicy.
I did too. This is definitely a slow burn. And the times that there are intimate scenes, well, some of the scenes in particular are surrounded by angst and drama
okay.
in the relationship, which we can get into more when we do the deeper discussion. That's a little teaser plug for you. So that's why I did 2 out of 5. All right, tears.
I gave it a 1.5.
Me too.
Okay. I feel like there was some heavy topics as far as what some of the characters are dealing with, But just the way it's written, it doesn't feel heavy, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it just, I didn't cry real tears, but I was very sad for some characters and what they go through. And
that is literally what I wrote down for verbatim. So we have the same rating for the same reason.
Ditto.
Overall,
this was a 5.
Okay.
I loved it so much.
I love that you gave it a 5.
I gave it a 5. My husband was like, you gave it a 5? I was like, I gave it a 5. This lady made me laugh so much. It didn't overwhelm me with the angst of it. It was just, it was perfect.
Top notch.
I loved it.
I did 4.5, so I wasn't much behind you. It was fast-paced. Love the humor. The humor just really made it for me, and I highly recommend this book. It's
yes,
so good.
Definitely.
All right, that concludes a spoiler-free quick review of the story. Now we're going to shift into the deeper book discussion. It's going to include lots of spoilers, so if you haven't read it, stop what you're doing right now. Go check it out, and then come back and finish this deeper discussion with us. Find us on social media and tell us all your thoughts on the story. You can find us on Instagram at Postbook Depression Podcast, on Facebook in our Postbook Depression Discussion Group, and you can email us at postbookdepressionpodcast@gmail.com. This story opens up as we meet Brianna, an ER doctor, who is talking to her friend about she's only a couple of days away from finalizing a divorce with her husband, Nick. So let's start this discussion off with Brianna and Nick.
Ooh, he's the worst.
Explain.
He's the worst. Well, are we giving a little bit of back history of...
Sure.
Okay, so we're just going to jump right in. Everybody's going to hate him. They've been married for 10 years, and...
Which is a good investment into a marriage.
Yes, it is. It is. Yes. And it's been a year since they have separated that's leading up to their divorce, and we find out that he had an affair on her for 2 years, the last 2 years. Not just an affair, but it was an affair with a friend of hers.
Yeah, that
or
makes
so
it worse.
She thought mm-hmm. it was a friend. We later find out that Nick and Kelly were co-workers, that they've known each other for a while, and she kind of missed just a lot of signs throughout their entire marriage that she just wasn't number one for him.
Which was really sad and frustrating for her when you think about all the time that's been invested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you think that your spouse is like been drunk at her wedding because she's
yeah, all
marrying.
The signs. Yeah.
Just
all,
there's so many signs, and you know, in hindsight, you just wish that you would have had your eyes open and realized, you know, when you walk into a room and your husband's whispering with somebody and they're arguing, it's not
what you thought it was about.
Yeah. And he does something else, but I'm not going to bring it up yet. I'm going to bring it up later.
Okay.
That was a total red flag for me that if my husband ever said no to, I would immediately have a big lengthy discussion with him as to why are we saying no.
Okay.
So,
but okay, we'll get into that little teaser. All right. It then shifts into she's up for this promotion at the hospital that she's well deserved and she has earned, and she's in line for that, basically the next shoe-in for this opportunity at the hospital. But lo and behold, she is told by her superior that they're going to pause this promotion because they want to give this brand spanking new ER doctor who's just come in an opportunity to apply for the promotion as well. That irked me off so bad. Politics in business just, it irritates me. And this did to no end. But I have to say, I love that she called them Dr. Death. She calls him Dr. Death and all of the examples of all of his patients on his first.
Oh, that was just heartbreaking. When the nurses are just like, she tries to make excuses. She's like, well, this person had a DNR. And this person was really old, and this person was this, and this person was that. And then when one of the nurses walks out and they hold up the number 7.
It does set us up for explaining why none of the staff are receptive to Jacob as he's starting this job, and he's already not, you know, well-liked amongst the team.
I felt bad for him. Now, with her superior, my thought was, ugh, really? Is it because, you know, she's thinking it's because he's a man, it's this, it's that. I do have to say, later on when we find out why, like the reasoning behind it, it does make sense to me.
It does, yes.
And I appreciated that.
Yes. But in the start of the
story. In the start of it, I was very much frustrated. And I love that she kind of let her frustration show, you know, like, well, okay. You know, she just has this personality where she's like, yeah, okay.
And then the inner dialogue that she just has about Jacob up until she learns more about him, I find just delightful.
Well, it was like she kind of turned because she was kind of defensive of him, you know, when they were all saying he's Dr. Death. And then when they finds out he's up for that,
running of the promotion or whatever, she instantly is like, oh, so he's in cahoots with I see how it is. It's like a total shift. And she's like, no wonder the nurses don't like him kind of thing. I loved it.
They have a really unfortunate meet cute when she's in the room with his brother. Well, she has rushed by him, bumped his shoulders.
Unknowingly breaks his phone.
And he's just thinking, what just happened? Like, she just broke my phone. And he's wanting to, you know, track her down and get reconciliation for the broken phone. And it's just so awkward. And
it was awkward, and I was picking up very quickly that the dude was kind of awkward because, one, he's stunned silent because she's so gorgeous, which I love those moments.
I love them,
so sweet. But whenever she finally gets him to talk, he's like, you shouldn't run in the halls. And she's thinking, okay. You know, so I guess it's obvious he can tell that the person she's, you know, the patient is somebody she cares about.
Yeah.
I think when he realizes the severity of the situation, he realizes how much he messed up.
When she goes to her sob closet.
Oh.
How much did you love the sob closet?
I love, love, love
have the you sob ever, closet. Have you ever had a place at work where you just go and hide from all your coworkers?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. Yep.
Did you give Hearst a name like sob closet?
I didn't, but they were supply closets. Why were there supply closets? And I did. I would go hide and cry when I was really, really upset.
What is it about supply closets that we like to hide in so much? Is it because they're dark and just quiet and nobody really goes in them?
Yeah, nobody goes in them. I had two jobs. Well, one, I worked at a restaurant and there was nowhere to cry unless, I would cry back by the dishwasher guy. he was a friend of mine, so he would allow it. But that was when I was a teenager, so it was fine. My other two jobs that I had, there was like legit supply closets of stuff. And I would, if I was having a bad day, I'd go punch in those codes.
Did anyone ever interrupt your quiet time?
Yes, but not to the point that they realized what I was doing.
Oh, okay.
It's like, inventory, I'm just doing inventory. Because both of my jobs, that was what I was in charge of doing. So
that's awesome.
I had an excuse to be back there, and I could cover. So I did.
This gives us our first glimpse into Jacob's softer side when he goes and gets the tissue and comes back and just sits quietly with her. And it really starts to make you have these feelings of compassion for him and realize he definitely has a softer side.
And then he ruins it by saying something inappropriate.
As he does, continuously.
And he so didn't mean to. And that was the other indication of, this guy doesn't know how to read social cues for me. That was what really kind of tipped it off. I'm like, he's not good with social cues.
I love that as he realizes that later, he wants to rectify that. And he does that, of course, by writing a letter to her. Let's talk about the letters.
Okay. Letters. I love the letters. Amy, this is so sweet. First of all, nobody does this anymore. And
What a sad thing to die out on. Because there's nothing I love more than a good handwritten letter. I can't tell you how many boxes I have up in my attic of handwritten letters that I have just growing up from, like, pen pals and friends that lived far away. And it brought me so much joy to get real live letter mail in the mail.
I'm the same way. My husband will sometimes leave little notes, not long ones, but just short ones, and I love those. And then when I was in college, I had a friend that moved away. She moved to Seattle, and she and I would write letters back and forth because we kind of felt like it was a dying thing, you know? And I enjoy it so much. I love getting a letter. They make me so happy.
There's something so intimate about having in your hand something tangible with someone else's handwriting. Their scent is on the paper sometimes, the thought and the time that it takes to put words on paper. It definitely shows a higher level of appreciation for the person they're writing the letter to.
It absolutely does, because writing letters take time. Mm-hmm. It takes thought. It takes consideration. People just don't do it, so.
Which she jokes about in her response back to him. How is your hand not cramping?
I know, when she has to take a break. Oh, that was the best. So their letters to me were just the sweetest. I love a letter. I think more people should do it. Let's bring it back, everybody, right now, right here. Let's make it happen.
Let's do it. Let's start writing physical letters more. Yeah. The letters really kind of give us this peek into, as we go through the story, these little gestures that he does for her that just warm my heart up so much. Like the Taco Bell instance, mm-hmm. when he brings her Taco Bell, the red velvet cupcake where she gives him the tip about getting the cupcakes and finds out her favorite. He just does these little gestures of, I see you, I care about you. We may not have feelings for each other yet. They're growing, but mm-hmm. he's keeping those quiet, and it just made me smile. I love him.
You can tell that his apology from his first letter really meant so much to her because she wanted to continue that, because she really got to a point where she was looking forward to him, mm-hmm. and then when she didn't have them and the days would go by, it was kind of torture that she wasn't getting a little piece of Jacob of how his day was. I love when she's kind of pondering, you know, she kind of searches for social media and stuff to find him, and he's a little bit hard to find, and she sends the request because uh-huh. she just needs more to talk to them. She yeah. needs more connection. She wants to talk to him every day. And I am so thrilled that that kind of paved the way
yeah.
for that. Like,
nicely put.
Yeah. They just, I don't know. It was so sweet. Their buildup of their friendship mm-hmm. and
like the foundation. Of
Yeah.
Of
and it was in. Also nice because through those letters, she learned that Jacob struggles with anxiety and social anxiety, and it explained his actions mm-hmm. in a way that I feel like if he had tried to approach her in person again, that fear of botching that whole apology probably wouldn't have gone over. So it gave him a little bit of peace.
I think
And
so
when
too.
She writes him back, it clearly does. And that kind of just opens up the gates for them to have this beautiful friendship that develops. They just, oh, they've made me so happy.
It
Abby,
really
you
does.
Wrote the best couple.
So it really sweet. Does. You mentioned that one of his letters and then all the ones that followed after that really talk about how he suffers with social anxiety and anxiety in general. So mm-hmm. let's shift over into his anxiety and what that entails and how Bree has this ability to calm him. Let's talk first of all about his anxiety.
Well, he has a very, I feel like a stronger form of anxiety where he has to kind of have a strict schedule. He has to know things. He has to know what the plan is.
Yeah, it's not just social anxiety. It's anxiety in general.
It's anxiety in general, which I relate to on a small scale. And I feel like sometimes mine is bad. His was on a level that I thought I'm like that on certain circumstances, but mine isn't as severe as that. But it was interesting to me because I definitely empathize with somebody who has it, having it myself, but for the level that he has it.
Yeah.
I did find it interesting because at one point she questions him being an ER doctor and if that doesn't bring more stress. And he said, no, it calms his mind.
I loved his response to that.
I did too.
I found it interesting that he responded that way.
I did too.
Not what I would have expected.
No, not at all. And I was thinking that at one point before she ever addressed it, I thought, ooh, that's a tough job to be in when you've got anxiety like that. But then when he explains it, it makes a lot of sense.
It does. We talked a little bit about how Jacob's social anxiety really kind of takes over his life. He's got these routines that he has to stay in. So did you recognize some of those qualities in yourself or in others? You said you can relate a little bit to him on some level. So talk to us a little bit about that.
I could relate to him in that I need to know what the plan is. I can get really anxious if I'm not sure of what I'm going into. I like going to parties, but it's very uncomfortable for me to go when I don't know anybody.
Sure. That's how I am as well, especially in large groups of people. Mm-hmm.
And if it's a massive and I only know a handful, I don't do well. I've been to several of your parties and for the first several years, I didn't talk a lot because I knew you really well, mm-hmm. so it was a lot. But whereas in he needs to get out of that environment, and I understand, so he uses journaling and exercise as a forms of like his self-care when his anxiety flares. I have done many things over the last couple of years as mine has gotten real bad.
What do you do?
So I went to therapy first. I've talked about that before mm-hmm. when I went to therapy. That's why I went, was for my anxiety because it was pretty bad. And the other thing that I do is I have started exercising on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. It is amazing how much it quiets my head.
Yes.
And like helps with that. And I also have to follow a really strict diet. I notice that if I allow my diet to kind of get out of control and I indulge a bit much, it can heighten some of that.
Sure.
So for me, that's certain things. And then I also, my husband is like great because he talks to me and we've got these tools and stuff that my counselor had given me to kind of work through those. So, which he kind of does too. Like
yeah,
that's
he does.
A big part of what mm-hmm. he went through and therapy and stuff that those are things that work for me.
I like to get out and run. I like to journal. I do like to journal like him. I know you're not a big journaler, nope. But I do enjoy it. I feel like
I'll write a letter. I won't journal.
That's fair. That's, you're still putting thoughts on paper, which is what he does. How do you think his story might change your perception of meeting someone who seems shy or aloof at first?
I mean, for me, it doesn't really change a whole lot because I understand that.
Yeah.
So I can pick up pretty quickly on people who are kindred spirits.
So it's more of a struggle for me because I have the personality type, like I want everyone to be included. I want everyone to be a part of the conversation. And it is harder for me to process and understand people that maybe aren't comfortable in that. I take it personally in that I'm like, they're not having a good time because they're not engaging. And I have since learned, having been married to someone who struggles to be in large groups for long periods of time, I understand now it's not a slight against anyone in the room. It's just they need space. Mm-hmm. And so that's really kind of opened my mind to have a different perspective as well. So I try and view people that I might have originally thought were shy or aloof now as, okay, well, maybe they're just introverted or shy, or they're just not, they might have some social anxiety.
Yeah. I've been told that I look rude a lot. Because I have a very serious face, or I won't be super chatty. If I'm in with my close group of friends, it's a completely different story. But I always am taken back if I've been called rude, because of the way my face, it looks like I'm like, no, I just really don't want to be here. I'm not rude. I just don't, I'm uncomfortable, or, you know, I'm kind of dealing with some of that stuff. And so I did feel like I totally relate to also the fact that certain people drain him more.
Okay, there was the passage. I did a screen capture of that because he said his dad, he does great with, because his dad can be in comfortable silence, and then his sisters, he finds very draining and needs lots of time to recharge after that.
Yeah, and that's totally accurate. I mean, you know this. I've told you, please don't think I'm mad if I don't talk to you for a couple of days. I just am like overstimulated.
Yeah.
I get overstimulated sometimes. And
having that conversation helps people like me that doesn't understand. It helps kind of, okay, I don't have to take this personally. I know now that you need space, and I know I'm good. Like, she's not upset with me.
It's not
personal.
She's not mad.
She just needs to recharge.
Yeah, it's a recharge thing, which is hard to do when I have two little ones. So sometimes they don't let me, but Dustin picks up on it and he's like, do you need to go to the bedroom for a little bit, or do you need to go out and do something? Like, and we're like, go out and do something is go out and not be around people.
Yeah.
Do you need to go get a coffee and drive around? Yes. Yes, I do.
One of the little things that Jacob mentions that he, like this, the work that it takes is when he starts watching Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
And he's like, she will never understand what it took for me to watch a show that she just thinks we have a show in common. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting.
I love that he did that. It was so sweet.
Let's talk quickly about Bree's ability to calm him down where everyone else can't. One of the things that I love that she does for him is the game of catchphrase, where she gives him the phrase as an out. That was really cool that she did that, and I love the unique ways Abby wrote those little scenarios.
I did too. So what is it? Not in this economy, or whatever it was. It's like, in this economy, that was the best.
Phrases just fell in so perfectly, which kind of transitions us to Jacob and Amy's history. Amy is his ex that he was with for a very long time, who's now engaged to Jeremiah, his brother. And there's definitely a difference between the way Brianna and Amy dealt with his anxiety. There's a significant difference. And so I am just curious, do you think that Amy was selfish for not understanding him better, or were they just incompatible from the start?
I feel like it was a little bit of both, to be perfectly honest, because they were together for so long. She had to have known his personality. She had to have known that he was anxious. It also says that she worked with Jeremiah, his brother, for a few years before they ever started dating. To me, if you knew his brother, that probably, his brother grew up with him. He should have told you he has severe anxiety. And I feel like as close as she was to that family, the fact that she wasn't picking up, when she would take him to bars or parties and then get frustrated with him because he couldn't deal with the sounds, and he's so overstimulated and not, and feel frustrated with him, that to me at that point, it's a little level of selfishness. Now, I know that it goes on in the story and we find out Amy's really great. He's always like, no, she's really nice. I love her, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, she's a great person, not for him.
Right. But so maybe not a little compatible as well.
I feel like in that they were not compatible, but I do feel like, I feel like when they picked up on these signs of you're constantly being frustrated because he's not doing these things you're wanting him to do, you're trying to push him. And maybe she felt like trying to push him to do those things would help him. Mm-hmm. So maybe she meant well.
Yeah.
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt because everybody says she's nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that she really did mean well. But after a certain point, you have to see that this person is so miserable.
Yeah.
Like when he says to her, I was so lonely, and kind of shouts at her and tells her, I mean, they have a whole argument they and do. Stuff. And to me, it was kind of like, you just turned a blind eye. You didn't want to see the struggles that he was having, and you didn't try to even understand where he was coming from.
One of the most beautiful examples that I found that Brianna did for Jacob, just a major difference between her and Amy, is when she's at the little bed and breakfast and texts him all of the details of what to mm-hmm. expect when he comes. That chapter and what she did for him just spoke volumes about the differences between her and Amy.
Right. And I feel like she kind of had a little bit of an understanding because it does say that her brother Benny is similar in that personality to Jacob. So she kind of knew, which again, I go back to Jeremiah having worked and they were friends, probably should have told her a little bit more of how, I don't know. Anyway, we'll give her the benefit of the doubt because they end it where she's great and they're all friends and it's all fine, but I kind of thought she was horrible, honestly, when I was reading. I'm like, man, yeah. You're so mean.
That's I did
so
too.
So rude.
While we're on the topic of Amy and Jeremiah, let's talk about their engagement. Ugh. And of course the baby announcement too. There's a lot to unpack with that.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
how did you feel about that? Did it make you feel icky and gross?
It made me mad. Well, honestly, that was why I didn't like her.
Yeah.
Because that's the first thing that we get is 3 months after her. First of all, he says at one point he's only been broken up with her for 8 months.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm, I did.
3 months after they broke up, she started dating Jeremiah. That means Jeremiah and her were dating for 5 months
mm-hmm.
when him or Jacob and Amy had been together for 3 years.
Yeah.
Something like that. Mm.
Yeah, it doesn't sit well with me.
It didn't. It. My thought, if it was my sibling, would be, how long have you had feelings for them?
Mm-hmm. Because it was a real quick turnaround.
Because
in the grand scheme of things,
it feels like Jeremiah is a little bit like Nick,
mm-hmm.
where Nick was always harboring these feelings for Kelly, and he worked with Kelly.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremiah worked with Amy, and Jeremiah is really quick to slide into home base, you know, with like, oh, my brother's broke up with her. Did he not think of how that would make his brother feel?
Let's move quickly into Benny's health, because it is a secondary story in this, but it kind of takes a primary role because of the role that Jacob plays in his health journey. He has renal failure, and we know that he's in poor health and expected to pass if he doesn't get a transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that obviously this has been affecting him for a little while, and it has repercussions on Brianna as well. And Jacob learns of this.
Mm-hmm.
When he first starts at the hospital. And one of the cool things that I love about Jacob, not only is he wanting to donate a kidney to Benny to help save his life, it is as a direct result of his mom having been a recipient of a transplant, and he wanted to pay it forward. Let's talk about Benny's health and the kidney transplant.
I feel so sad for this family because she, within the last couple of years, because we know that Benny was like really healthy. He was a marathon runner, didn't have a lot of problems, and it just, an autoimmune disease hit him out of nowhere and compromised his health like within the last 2 years. So it was kind of tragic that they go through all that, and then their mom isn't there. I guess when she is there, she's a little bit much for everybody. I would take the freezer full of food, but I guess that's the issue. But it's kind of heartbreaking because he's depressed,
mm-hmm.
severely depressed.
Yeah.
With his diagnosis, because he has such a rare blood type and it's hard for him to find a match.
I loved the transformation of him when he learns of his donor, didn't you?
I loved it. It did break my heart because there is a part that they talk about how some people do so well with these diagnosis, you know, they continue to thrive. And that's kind of the point Jacob makes at one point, is that gives them time. Being mm-hmm. on dialysis gives them time. Mm-hmm. Like, it could be worse. And it is hard to see a character who they don't take the diagnosis very well, which I do feel like, you know, until you're walking in somebody's shoes, you don't know how it's going to be. One of the things I loved about Jacob is that when he makes the decision, he's not only doing it for his mom, but he doesn't want anybody to know.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to keep that secret. And then that secret gets blown by that superior at work. I love her reaction when she just runs through the hospital to find him.
Yes.
And is so overwhelmed with gratitude. It was so moving to see how much it meant. And he just didn't want anybody to know. He said, can we please just not tell anybody? And I just appreciate that because he's so humble. It's not something that he wanted recognition for. He wanted to be anonymous. He was really doing it out of the goodness of his heart.
I think
not
so too.
For accolades, because she thought, and that's one of the things that she thinks is, he could be the hero of this hospital
mm-hmm.
if he let people know.
And yeah.
that is a big turning point. Again, another shift in her, the way she perceives him. And I love that.
I loved it too. But I also loved that she found out because, I mean, just all the joy that it mm-hmm. brought her. I mean, she had the joy before she knew it was him, but even for him as well. And she's ready to reciprocate anything that he wants,
yeah.
which leads us to their fake dating and their little situation that their agreement that they come into.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about it. Jacob has to go to his brother and Amy's wedding, and the whole family
just
is concerned.
Terrible.
I love his family. I love his sisters. They're so funny. And he just doesn't, again, this is how this man is so selfless. He wants everybody in his family to see him as being okay. Because if he goes to this wedding and this party by himself, he's afraid everybody's going to be looking at me and thinking, oh, he's heartbroken, he's sad. He doesn't really want to, but their work friend, is it Xander?
Mm-hmm.
I think his name. Yeah, Xander, you know, convinces, like, she's totally cool, she'll do it, blah, blah, blah. So she agrees to do it, and
I love a fake dating trope.
I love a fake dating. I don't like it when they're super fluffy. And again,
same.
I have to say it again. I cannot reiterate this enough. This book is not fluffy.
I agree.
It is. It's got some depth to it, and I really enjoyed that. So they start fake dating, and there's a lot wrapped up in that, in their relationship.
Let's dig into that a little bit deeper. Let's talk about that a little bit more.
One of the things that I love, to try to get to know each other, they play the game, would you rather? My husband and I have played that for years, going on vacation.
Okay.
Have you played that?
Not very often. Sometimes.
Oh.
I struggle to come up with the would you rather questions.
Oh, you have to Google them.
Okay.
You have to Google them.
So, isn't that what he does?
Yes. Yeah. So, well, after you, like, get through the, you know, basic generic stuff. But we've been married for 15 years. We have to Google at this point.
Okay.
And I actually stopped when I was reading this passage and I did the would you rather with Dustin. I was like, okay, hey, this is a good one. Would you rather be like a fish head with a man's body or like whatever it was. It was so funny, like a merman or something in reverse. Oh, that made me laugh so loud. And Dustin was like, wait, what? It's like, I'm gonna have a horse's head in a man's body. And then he started cracking up. I love that they play this game to really get on a deeper level. And at some point there is that shift
mm-hmm.
where he says, you know, these are kind of silly, blah, blah, blah. And she says, well, if I go hard and I'm going to ask you the real stuff. And so it leads to them, like, what was your what's in your search history? And he hands her his phone. Amy, he gave her his PIN. Now I'm gonna circle back. In the beginning, I said that there was something that Nick did that was a complete and total red flag for me. She gets kind of sad when he gives her his PIN and then tells her it's also his debit. And she's like, you need to change that.
Jacob.
Jacob. And he ends up changing his PIN to her PIN. I thought that was sweet. But she gets kind of somber because Nick never allowed her to have his PIN to his phone.
Yeah.
And she said he tried to gaslight her and make her feel paranoid.
Yeah, big red flag.
Mm-hmm. Huge red flag. And the second that Jacob tells her, you know, I have nothing to hide from you. There's nothing that you can't ask me. I was just sold. I was sold. And I thought to myself, these people are both catching feelings.
Yes, they were.
Now, there's where the angst comes in. We have to address that. So you brought that up. So let's kind of talk some about how they're both catching feelings, but the miscommunication you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, so there's a ton of miscommunication between them. She overhears part of a conversation between he and Amy, and so that just sets things in motion for this whole scenario going on in her mind that is not true at all. And he's ready to move forward with her after the conversation with Amy, and he comes and asks her on a real date, and she says no because she was partially eavesdropping. Listen, if you're going to eavesdrop, start at the beginning of the conversation, all right? Listen to the whole conversation and not just part of it. So that really was the kickoff point for all the miscommunication between the two of them and really what prolonged them having a real relationship, because in her mind the whole time, he is still in love with Amy, which was not true at all, like not even in the slightest. And that was frustrating.
It was frustrating. I kept thinking to myself, though, well, he did tell her he loved Amy.
He
did it in a way because he didn't know how to put together the words. So when she said, do you love her? And he said, yes. He wasn't saying he was in love with her.
Yeah, that would have been a good opportunity for her to follow up with, are you in love with her?
Do you
still want to be with her?
Right. I would think so. I feel like that was a lot of, she was, you know what they say about assuming. She was assuming things that were not true. He kind of did as well, though.
He did.
But not to quite the degree that she did, because he was kind of sold on trying to take it to the next level, even, you know, when she was in her mind of miscommunication. Because he thinks, well, how will I know if she really is doing this because she wants me or because I'm donating my kidney?
Which is the whole premise of the problem with fake dating. You never know when they finally have genuine feelings, do they really?
Mm-hmm.
And that also increases the angst for the reader.
It did. I was very frustrated with her throughout because I just can't stand miscommunication like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an over-communicator when it comes to my relationship with my husband. I can't even fathom. If I'm not sure about something, I have to ask questions until I understand and have clarity.
Same.
But that's just me as a person. So when you go on for weeks at a time assuming things, I'm like, you just look foolish.
Yeah. So. And especially as a reader, we're getting both perspectives. And so it just heightened frustration for us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I did love as, you know, they're going through this fake dating, transitioning into real dating, was that his mom is a couples therapist and a sex counselor, and the freaking out that she has, like, she's going to know we're not in a real relationship, and they cover their bases very well. And towards the end, it's obvious that she knew that they started out as something they weren't and grew into genuine relationship, which I found just delightful.
Yeah, when she tells Jacob, it was so fun to watch you two fall in love. And he's like, wait, what? She's like, honey, it's my job. So it's like, okay.
You knew it was going to happen that way, but I loved it anyway.
Yeah.
As they are getting into that real dating relationship, and obviously they have feelings for one another, we start to learn more about Brianna's background, and they're kind of getting into this legit relationship. They're starting to have a happily ever after, but of course there's still quite a bit of the book left, so you know it's not quite there. And we learn about some trauma that she's had, and she starts pushing him away. Let's talk about that.
Well, the trauma, she kind of has that in twofold, because her first trauma is her dad left when she was 8 years old, and her mom was pregnant with Benny, and that really kind of shaped a lot of her view. And then when she married Nick, she thought he's the greatest, he's the best, and then he did what he did with Kelly. It kind of ruined her. She never wanted to get married again. And her mom also has kind of fed her throughout her whole life. You need to have financial security. You need to have your own house. Always have your name on everything. Don't let them take everything from you, kind of thing. So her mentality is very, she's very jaded in a lot of ways.
Do you think like her view of men was shaped by her mother or her own life experiences? Could you really understand why Brianna was afraid to love Jacob based on her experiences?
It was very hard for me to get in her mindset because I don't have her life experiences. So I had to really think of, okay, if I am Brianna and I've grown up with a dad who abandoned me and I marry a man, I take a chance on love, and I find out he has spent the last 2 years having an affair with somebody that I know who is texting me daily.
Weird.
You know, I could totally understand. So do I feel like her mother influenced her or her life experiences? I think it was both, but if I have to be completely honest, I don't feel like she bought into everything her mom was trying to sell her until her experience with Nick. And then she thought, okay, well, I guess mom really is right. And that just made me sad.
It made me sad too. And I really felt bad for her. I felt like her feelings were justified in the way that she had grown up in those instances that had happened to her. I felt like she had every reason not to trust men, and all of the examples that she'd had leading up to this moment were negative ones, and that's what she had to base her reactions off of.
When she is pushing Jacob away because she's starting to have these thoughts of he's going to do the same. He doesn't feel that way now, but he will eventually. I'm going to stop it before it happens. I really appreciated his mom's perspective on that, of when she questions, has she ever been to counseling for the trauma that she's endured?
Mm-hmm.
Because if she hasn't, she can't see that she can accept good things. She can't see that all men are not like her dad. All men are not like Nick. And I really appreciated that she explains to her son. They have that whole thing, love shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells her, you know, keep showing up.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Jacob, with his personality and his social anxiety, as a person with anxiety, if you're feeling nervous about something, a lot of times you're going to pull back, mm-hmm. even if it goes against what you feel you should do, because of fear of rejection.
I also like that they have the quote, be harmless to one another, that was their vows, and that was just a phrase that they had between one another. I feel like that also helped propel the trust between the two of them.
Yeah.
We have the scene where she has the run-in with Nick and Kelly on the elevator, and it's definitely the catalyst for her spiral,
mm-hmm.
Going downhill. Let's spend just a brief moment talking about this trigger.
Well, this is really sad because at this point, Brianna is sold on Jacob. She's going to give it a go. And the second that she sees Nick and Kelly has a wedding ring on. She's pregnant.
Ugh, sucker punch to the gut.
Yeah, because they're... And we also have to acknowledge that Brianna, one of the traumas that she had is... when they were starting to separate, she was pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and she miscarried. And when she miscarried, she was all alone.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a lot of pain from that. And Nick says, we'll take the next one. And right after that, she gets sick in the elevator. I have to say, did you think she was getting sick because she saw Nick and Kelly together? Or did you suspect that?
I did not suspect the pregnancy at all.
Really?
I did not see that coming. I don't know why, but I just...
I did.
Not living in that bubble, I guess.
I did for a split second because something was said and I thought, she's pregnant.
Huh.
And I don't...
Yeah, I did not... You good for you, because I did not pick up on that until she actually says it. I'm like, that's why she threw up in the elevator.
And she... Yeah, so we know she starts pushing him away, really. And when we find out that she is pregnant and it's confirmed and she's telling her mom, I was even more heartbroken that she was wanting to... built this wall to keep Jacob out, because she thinks in her mind she's doing it to protect her unborn daughter,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, she's assuming it's a girl, but they've kind of had that whole thing that throughout they would name their daughter Ava.
Which I thought was cute.
Or, yeah, the other funny name to save money.
Xfinity.
She wants to protect her, and I thought that I didn't like that, because Jacob is, he would never give any indication that he would not.
Yeah.
Be a stand-up guy.
I agree. Towards the end of the story, we move into where Jacob has his surgery for Benny's transplant, and right before he goes in, I was feeling a little bit anxious because they weren't on good terms at that mm-hmm. point, and she's coming in and she's stressed out about that. And I knew the minute that she told him, when he asked what she wanted and she said, I want to see in your soul, I knew the journal and the letters were going to come into play. And here, lo and behold, he gives her the journal as he's being wheeled away. That journal,
I was so happy.
I was too.
I was so happy. Thank the Lord for the journal, because it saved the day.
And the final letter that he leaves to her at the end of the journal. I knew at some point he was going to sign it, yours truly, because that's what she said she'd always wanted. So special. I love that he gave her that little insight into his soul. And then they get their happily ever after.
And they get their happily ever after. And Abby wrote the best book. It was just so... delightful. It made me happy throughout, even through the ups and downs and the angst and the frustration that I had with Brianna. I still loved her, but I think that even the people we love most, sometimes they can drive us crazy with the things they do.
Speaking of Abby, one of the things that I am a personal lover of is cake and cupcakes, mostly cupcakes. So when Nadia's Cakes was mentioned in this book, I quickly had to jump on Google and do a little Google search on Nadia's Cakes. I thought maybe because it was mentioned specific to this city. So I thought, let's check that out. And I discovered that Abby owns and is the baker for Nadia's Cakes. Did you know that?
I did not know that until you had, I think you had sent me a text message and I did not know that. And I didn't even think to Google it. I just thought, that's cute.
I'm a lover of cake. So I am too. Let me see where this cake place is. I may have to visit it one day.
Yeah, totally. Because
isn't that so cool?
It's so cool.
I love that.
You know what? Actually, you don't need to even travel because they ship worldwide. I looked it up.
I love that even
more. I looked it up after you said that. I looked it up today, to be honest. So, yeah. Maybe in the U.S.
Okay.
Yeah. They ship worldwide or U.S. or something. They ship. They ship, Amy.
They ship their cakes. I'm on board. Sign me up. I just love that little nugget about her.
It's so cute. My song for this one is The Rest of Our Lives by The Light and the Heat. And there's a little snippet in the song that I feel like really kind of works with this story. It's so good. If you haven't heard it, I encourage you to listen to it. It just made me happy. It's kind of upbeat and it just, oh, it's so good. It's like what they would walk out to.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Well, that wraps up our discussion of Yours Truly. Thank you for joining us on this episode. We hope you enjoyed it and want to continue the discussion with us. We would love to hear from you. What were your favorite parts of this story? Hit us up on Instagram at Postbook Depression Podcast or on Facebook in our Postbook Depression discussion group. You can also email us at postbookdepressionpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, keep reading.